Blog Talk Radio.
Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. I had a bass. Much for the world to see. If I be lifted up from the earth, I draw all men unto me. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Hello. Praise God. I am so excited. I don't know about you, but I am excited to be in the land of the living. You know, weeping may endure it for a night, but joy, y'all, is coming in the morning. I want to say to all of those that are walking in a path, amen, of being stripped for the master's use, amen, this might be a difficult season for you right now. There are a lot of things that's around you, that's going around you, that is around you, that is falling by the wayside right now. You perhaps have experienced a lot of death in your family this month alone. And we want you to know, on behalf of my wife, Apostle Terry Smith Hill, and then myself, Terry Hill, and the Deliverance of the Word Prophetic Ministry Church family, we are praying for you. Regardless of the tsunami that's going in your life, regardless of the hail and the storms that are happening around you, I want you to lift up your head, amen, lift up your eyes, lift up your hands, and with the fruit of your lips, give God the praise through everything that you're going through. Your praises will and can unlock the anointing and the presence of God into your situation. Amen. Get your Bibles and turn with me real quickly to Revelation. We're going to Revelation chapter 12, and I want to talk about, in order for this to really get in your spirit, in order for this to be really ingrained in your heart, I want you to say this after me. Say, Lord, teach me to resolve and walk through conflict. Teach me how to resolve, to go through, to walk through conflict. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Come on, read it with me. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. I'll get back to that in a minute. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into heaven, and his angels was cast out with him. My God. Conflict. Being able to go through, to resolve, to work, to walk out conflict. Okay. Now, in order to understand really and to appreciate what's going on in our lives, conflict hits everybody. I don't care what type of title you have. I don't care where you go, what you do. I mean, conflict hits everybody. Can you say amen? But for the sake of this teaching, I want to just give you a definition of conflict because you'll know how to better how you'll know better how to pray. You know better what to look out for. All right. Conflict by definition now. Conflict is a serious or a series of disagreements and or arguments, appointments. Conflict is a serious or series of disagreements, arguments, disappointments. Conflict, again, by definition, is war. The definition, conflict is war, fighting, and battle. Okay, but when I read over here in Revelation chapter 12, and there are some more scriptures that we're going to be looking at as well. But Revelation chapter 12, now I'm going to go back over this because I want us to see something very profound. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 says, and there was war. What did I say one of the definitions of war, of conflict is? War, absolutely. So let's read it this way. There was conflict in heaven. What was the conflict? Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. There it is. There's the problem. And the dragon fought against his angels. Now let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. Wherever there is conflict, wherever there is misunderstanding, there is the enemy. The possibility of the enemy setting up conflictual issues in your atmosphere, in your environment. Do you know somebody? Do you know somebody whose main desire, whose passion it almost looks like, to bring havoc and conflict and fights and battles into a situation? As soon as they walk on the scene, into the scene, as soon as they walk into your presence, you already know that something's getting ready to jump off. And if it's not getting ready to jump off, they have within them something that will make something jump off. In other words, they will sabotage something, bring up something to spark conflict. Do you know anyone like this? So he said there was war, there was conflict in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels. Now, I want you to know that in any time that you go through, depending on your state of mind now, and it really don't have anything to do with your state of mind. It does and it doesn't. But as the child of God, you do know that God has called us to be problem-solving agents. What did you say, Pastor Hill? I said God has called us to be problem-solving agents. We are, using a terminology that my daughter, Sister Pastor Alicia Hill, says, we are, God has anointed us to be, agents of change. And it is possible to go into a situation, a hostile situation. I mean, a big elephant is in the room. The environment, the air is thick with hostility. God has anointed you to bring peace to that environment, to bring common ground, to bring unity to that situation. God has anointed you, but you yourselves, beloved, have to be in the right frame of mind. Turn to Genesis 13, the 13th chapter, and verse 9. Glory be to God. Watch this. Genesis 13 and 9. Let's start with verse. Oh, my goodness. Let's start with verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. Let's start with verse 1. I don't want to jump in the middle of the movie like that. Let's go from the beginning. Verse 1. Genesis 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel. From the south even to Bethel, the house of God, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto a place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Okay, so just backing up from the picture here, to give a narrative here, both of these guys had tremendous amount of stuff. Would you agree? You know what I mean? Just based on what we read right here, would you agree that these guys had a lot of things? They had a lot of things, all right? All right? Verse 6, and the land was not able to bear them. My God. Do you see this? Two men having a bunch of things, stuff that the land could not hold both of them, that they might dwell together, for their substance, there it is, was what? Wow. Wow. So that they could not dwell together. Wow. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram, cattle, and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. There was strife. There was conflict. All right? Now watch this in verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. Don't let there be conflict. I pray thee between me and thee and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. You know, there is no greater conflict that happens within one person, within one's life, than that of family members. You know what I mean? Those who are family, within the family, there seems to be one in that particular family that causes conflict, or that can cause conflict. But then you always have a peacemaker like Abram who says, listen, brother, in essence, listen, we're family. We don't need this strife. We don't need conflict. We don't need contention. Can we get along? Let's work out something. Now, Abram, in this case, is the peacemaker. He's the mediator. When two people are in arguments, according to law, when two people, and it's the decision of those two people, when two people can't come to a common ground, they have what they call, upon their request, a mediator. A mediator is the person that goes, that sits between them to hear the arguments, rational out the arguments to bring some type of clarity, common ground, solution to the conflictual issues at hand at that time. So Abram, in this case, was the peacemaker. He was the mediator. So he's here now, and he's saying, let's not have strife. Let's not have any arguments. All right? So he's the peacemaker. So what does a peacemaker or a problem-solving agent, what do they do? What is the qualifications of a peacemaker? All right? First of all, a peacemaker must put the needs and the betterment of others above their own desire. You cannot walk into a hostile situation and be the problem of that situation at the same time, and thinking that there is going to be some type of peace or resolution to the situation. And then you must yourself be non-judgmental to say, I am not on anybody's side. I'm just seeking and wanting truth. Because it's funny that when you get on somebody's side, then when your objective was to be your objective was to be open and not non-judgmental. When something goes on for real, you tend to, if your focus is not right, you tend to go to the left or to the right depending on what's being said at that time. But a peacemaker has the ability to go into any hostile situation, any hostile environment, and demand and or create change. That's what a peacemaker does. Watch this. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Glory be to God. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." All right, let me ask you a question. It says right here, blessed are the what? The peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. All right, let me ask you a question. If God said that peacemakers are blessed, well, first of all, let me do it this way. If peacemakers are blessed, what name can we call those who are hell makers? What's the opposite of being blessed? Cursed. Okay, absolutely. So if a person's desire is nothing more than to raise hell, you are a hell raiser, right? Then everything about you, everything around you, said, blessed are the peacemakers. Let's go further. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of who? All right. Now, let's hear. If peacemakers are children of God, what do you think, or who do you think the hell maker's father is? See, it's the enemy that comes to what? Steal, John 10:10. It's the enemy that comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy likes to sow discord among the what? All right? Among the brethren. He likes to sow discord, conflict among the brethren. Who likes to sow discord among the brethren? The enemy. What's the enemy's name? Revelation chapter 12. Let's go back. Let's go back. What's his name? Here it is right here. Revelation chapter 12. Let's start back over verse 7. And there was war, conflict in heaven. Michael and his angels fought. Now, what are the three words that I told you? One of the definition for conflict, those three words. War, fight, and battle. Right? Right? And there was war in heaven. Conflict. So let's read it this way. There was conflict in heaven. Michael and his angels, conflict, had conflict against the dragon. And the dragon had conflict and his angels. But the dragon and his angels prevailed not. Glory to God. And I want you to know, beloved, regardless of the situation, and I'm not minimizing anything that you're going through, because everything that you're going through is for the betterment of your development in the kingdom. You do understand that God is not going to give his anointing out to anyone that cannot handle the anointing. He's not going to give the mantle of the anointing to a child. He can, but the child must first go through a series of development stages in order to handle the anointing. You have to be mature, pure, and totally sold out through and in repentance for this anointing to take place. And God has anointed you to be a problem solver agent, to be a peacemaker. And I'm here to tell you that when you make a quality decision to be sold out to God, to say that I'm going to go into this situation and I'm not going to act or behave like them, I'm going into this situation to create and demand change. When I say demand, I'm not talking about you going into a situation and verbally saying I'm demanding change. I'm talking about your lifestyle. I'm talking about you going through there, through your job, and anointing everything that moves or does not move. I'm talking about you going into your supervisor's office, getting you a bottle of oil, and anoint everything in that office. I'm talking about you going to that person that has a hidden agenda or an agenda to get you out of that company, to get you out of your role as a supervisor or whatever it is, and go to that office and before they get there and anoint everything in that office. I'm talking about you taking power and authority over your atmosphere. I'm talking about you woman of God, you man of God, who house the anointing, the pulsating beat of God's power that rests upon the inside of you. You have the apostolic anointing, the apostolic prophetic anointing to change the molecular structure of your atmosphere. Glory to God. Pastor, I hear what you're saying, Apostle, but what do you mean to change the molecular structure of your atmosphere? When Elijah spoke to the people, I'm paraphrasing, when Elijah the prophet spoke to the people and told the people that it will not rain until I tell it to rain. Matter of fact, when I tell it to rain, then and only then will it rain. When he speaks to the atmosphere, God has given you power. The Bible said death and life is in the what? Power of the what? Power of the tongue. So you got to allow God to use your prophetic mouth. That's why I say you got to be in a place of peace in your own self. Don't walk into a hostile situation demanding or controlling the situation. Walk into it as God's leading man, God's leading lady, to create change because of the anointing that's in and on your life. Glory be to God today. Glory be to God. When there is conflict, you know, we have the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, paraphrasing, is righteousness, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness. When those elements right there of God is gone, conflict is inevitable. I'm gonna say it again. When those elements of the fruits of the Spirit is gone, conflict is inevitable. You should right now, by the Holy Ghost, be listening to the anointing of the Holy Ghost as this word is coming forth to you to arrest your consciousness, to prick your heart, and to bring revelation to whatever situation that you're going through right now, to allow the Holy Ghost to say, I'm going in tomorrow morning, and I'm going to create the atmosphere that God desires for there to be change. Oh, God has given you power. Do you hear me what I'm saying? He's given you power to change. Matter of fact, when you go into that situation, when you go into that office in the morning, get there 30 minutes before everybody. And go into that office, go into that boardroom, go into that conference room, and lock the door, shut the door, and with your prophetic mouth scream, change. Three times. Change. 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 For the kingdom of God. Glory be to God. And when you use your prophetic mouth, you will disarm the enemy. And you will let the enemy know that you and your assignment has not prevailed. Oh, glory to God. Verse 8, prevail not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. I'm here to let you know that when you take a prophetic, apostolic prophetic stand, the residue of what you saw oh, glory to God, I'm sorry, the residue, you won't even see the residue. You won't even smell it. It won't even smell like it. It won't even smell, you know, because when you're walking in really the anointing, when God has really set you on a fast for real, the smell, your smell becomes different. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The smell, you know the difference between cheap cologne and expensive cologne. My wife puts on Chanel No. 5. I call it channel. You know, channel, like you get the whole network, channel 2, channel 3, channel 5. She puts on No. 5. Okay. She can put this cologne on, this perfume, and spray it. You know what I mean? Very real modest with it. Real modest with it. And 3 hours later, you can smell. You can walk back into the room 3-4 hours later and still smell that perfume. Okay. What is that saying? That should say this perfume is not cheap. Listen to me. Hear me. Let me finish this thing. The perfume is not cheap, that it leaves a lasting aroma, okay? The anointing of God is not cheap. It leaves a lasting aroma. It leaves a lasting impression. It leaves a lasting impact upon or in the atmosphere. Glory be to God. But there was conflict. there was conflict. And the enemy and the residue of the enemy, his place in the kingdom, you couldn't find it in heaven anymore. Verse 9. And the great dragon cast out that old serpent, the devil and Satan, deceiveth the whole world, was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out of it. You are an agent of change, and God has anointed you to go into a hostile situation and to affect change in the name of Jesus. I pray that as you go through your situation, change, as God changes you, you will use and let God use you to change your atmosphere. Until I get back on the radio on the World Wide Web with you again, this is Apostle Terry Hill. Would you do me a favor? Would you put in a prayer request? Tuck in a prayer request and mail it to me, 1827 South Hawthorne Avenue, Independence, Missouri, 64052. And we will pray for you for your breakthrough. In Jesus' name. Until then, praise the Lord, everybody.